You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, and welcome to the Drift Radio Show. What we do on the Drift is go over the news we put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And so we have two special guests in studio today with us as we're podcasting. Second podcast for us here at the Drift. And Ash Hampton, who's been with us before, a couple years ago, actually. It's been a while.
It's been too long, Gary. Yeah. Welcome to the world of the podcast. That's awesome.
I know,
glad to have you
right?
back on the waves.
And so, thankfully, you brought some good equipment up, so it's even better than I was hoping for. So, and our special guest, Alan Hoover, who's going to be running for Congress, 8th District here in Michigan. Alan, welcome.
Thank you, Gary. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today, and it's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you guys, two of my favorite people now, because I've spent the last half hour with Alan, and you strike me as just a regular guy, which excites me. You know, you're not putting on the pretense. You strike me as just a regular guy. And, of course, Ash Hampton is the regular guy.
I try to be, Gary. I try to be American patriot through and through. That's what we're
That's
about
right.
here.
Now, you and I were both at—did you get a chance to go to the Trump rally, Alan?
No, I wasn't able to go to the Trump rally. My requirements to the affiliation with the military and the reserve capacity, I had to work on some stuff that evening, so I wasn't able to attend.
Okay. All right, well, you and I went, and you ended up on OAN Network.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I let them have it. I let those do-nothing Democrats have it that night, I felt. I did pretty good, right?
It was awesome.
It led to me connecting with Alan, who, oddly enough, I grew up with. We haven't seen each other in
that's
20
a great,
years.
That's a great story now. So let's kind of backtrack. When did you first think you were going to run?
When did I first think I was going to run for Congress?
Yeah.
I'd say on my last deployment when I was over there for 20 months in the country of Jordan, and I was watching what was going on there. My mission as an enabler was to outfit and train and advise the QRF for King Abdullah in Jordan. And I was watching how the same things I was doing there was being suppressed in our society back here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I was like, when I get back, if I'm able to, I'm going to run. And nice. Then when the Marine Corps came out with MARABIN 662/19, which allows reservist affiliated Marines to run for Congress this year, that's when I made the decision that yes, I'm going to do this.
Awesome. I'm glad you did. So shall we start out, I think, with maybe your background. Right. So you two went to high school together.
Yeah, we did. And actually, Alan, when he was a senior in high school, ran for city council in the city of River Rouge, where both of us went to school together. And I knew him well, helped him on his campaign there. Unfortunately, the powers to be, it wasn't to be at the time. And then Alan went into the Marine Corps. And a year and a half later, I went into the Marine Corps and we lost contact. And neither of us knew that each other had went into the Marine Corps. And I get a call from his campaign manager, Chris. He said, you know, hey, I know you do these radio shows and we'd like to get some sound bites with Alan. I said, well, you know, Alan who? Alan Hoover. I knew an Alan Hoover. He goes, oh, yeah, well, Alan's from River Rouge. I'm from River Rouge. It's the same Alan Hoover. So after talking
Small
with
world.
Alan
yeah.
for maybe 10 minutes, I just believed in his message. I believed in the idea of putting America's voice back in the halls of Congress, and I ended up becoming his official spokesperson and running his communications department for his campaign. So here we are, and we are ready to take it to Alyssa Slotkin and put the American's voice back in the halls of Congress.
And doggone it, it's personal for me because I moved a couple years ago out of Washtenaw County, thank you, and into Livingston County. So, yes, 8th District is now my congressman, was Mike Bishop, now Alyssa Slotkin. And I, you know what? I went open-minded. I didn't want her. And after 2 years, she's proven to me that I still don't want her as my congresswoman. She's a Democrat. She's a deep stater. She's a Pelosi shoo-in, right? Isn't that what happened here? Didn't we get a bunch of
people?
Well,
she was the indicator. She was the one that gave Nancy the last nod needed to go after this impeachment farce, right?
Right.
At the end of the day, the do-nothing Democrats have enlisted people that were swamp things for to begin with. Alyssa
yeah.
Slotkin, CIA operative.
Haley Stevens, same way.
Yeah, exactly. And so now they're, you know, they're not working for the American people's voice. They are working for the establishment, the deep state, and the swamp.
Yeah.
And Alan's standing up right now, Americans first, restore your voice because it matters. And he's going to win.
Okay.
Right. When she was at OU, trying to give her spiel on why she was impeaching our president. I was there as one of the Republicans protesting her. And to see the amount of people from our district that were speaking out against it clearly shows that she is not putting our district's voters' voice first. She is not putting the voter, the American citizen, first. She does not care about their voice. She cares about the Washington establishment's voice. She cares about that elite Washington status, that elite Washington money, and those special interests. That's what she's putting first. And that's why, as a deep state operative, she is trying to impeach our president since day one on the job, because she is a deep state operative when we get down to it.
Yeah, and people, if you don't believe in the deep state by now, you're just not listening, right? Or you're a super liberal, because the deep state is real, and I think she's a big part of it. But let's go to the positive side here. One of the things that excites me most about you is I love it when our combat guys, our veterans, come back and run for office. I can't think of a bad one off the top of my head, right?
Right. So I was a Foreign Security Force advisor, Special Operations, Expeditionary Warfare, right? Special mag taps, all that jazz. 5 tours, 19 operations, Middle East, Africa. I was actually on the 3rd Force Reconnaissance Team 2 from Special Mag Taf 12.2 that led the first enabler team in Burundi when the Burundian soldiers were fighting Somalia to take out Al-Shabaab. So I was on that team right there. Got some accolades from the current attaché from the embassy because of how fantastic our team was at enabling those soldiers for them to go so that they could free the people in their country, right? So that they could end tyranny on their continent, right? And then even in the Southeast Asia, doing some humanitarian missions that ended up turning into a little bit of kinetic environments with some of the explosions that we saw happening at the hotels. And then back through to the Middle East again with the Jordanian team, working with the QRF out there. With that exposure, I've been to 19 countries. I haven't operated in 19 countries, but I've been to 19 countries. And I've seen the ivory towers and I've seen the shanties. I don't see colonial homes. I don't see hardworking citizens of those countries that are bringing in a middle class. It doesn't exist. You have a wealthy elite, and then you have an extreme impoverished poor part of society.
Kind of sounds like what the Democrats are doing to us right here in California and New York and other big cities, right? Just kind of destroying the middle class and putting people on the streets.
Right. I mean, to me, it looks like our current incumbent wants to turn the 8th District into the city of Detroit. Because on the last election, she was speaking out to have businesses in our district boycotted against because they were not for her campaign. What kind of U.S. representative calls for the bloodlines, the small businesses and the business owners of their district to be boycotted against over politics?
Yeah, the lifeblood of her constituency, she called to shut them down
because
she wanted to stifle their voice, which is exactly what the establishment deep state does every time we Americans open up. And when you get back to it at the end of the day, someone like Alan, who has 20 years of service to this country, he's walked the walk.
Yeah,
and
that's not 20 years as a bureaucrat. It's 20 years of a Marine the ground, boots on the ground,
life
doing
the
job.
Line.
Yeah, putting your life on the line. And again, you know what? If anyone deserves a shot at leading our country and representing me, I'd prefer to be a veteran, frankly, because I know you know how to work hard. I know you know what the Constitution is, and I know what our values are.
Yes, absolutely. I made it to the rank of gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps.
That's not an easy feat. I know I was in the Marine Corps, and I surely didn't get close to that rank.
And with that, even as a Foreign Security Force advisor, right? Foreign Security Force advisor. What does that mean, right? I am interacting with foreign entities, right? Focusing on the security of their nation, right? Aspects, training, outfitting, equipping, advising and assisting, and in some cases accompanying them on how to protect what is important to them as citizens in their country, right? So I have this experience with these other countries. I have that same drive to bring that experience here into Congress to be your U.S. representative, to put you, the voter, first, to put your voice first, to ensure that your voice is heard so that we can focus on the confines and the security of our 8th District.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for. We're here with Alan Hoover, who's running for 8th District Michigan Congressman, and you know what? You're the kind of guy I want to see on the Intelligence Committee. Not a guy like Adam Schiff.
Oh, Shifty Schiff.
I don't want a guy like that. He knows nothing about being overseas, working with the foreign governments and foreign military. He knows nothing. But why is that guy running something? It should be somebody like you who has the experience.
Well, I think if you actually look at it, and I'm sorry to interrupt you here, Alan, but if you actually look at what the Democrats do, you have AOC on the Finance Committee, and she's got a credit score of like 400 and something. They don't really care about who's in these positions. Well, all they care about is improving the message of the deep swamp, taking away your rights, your freedoms, and stifling your voice.
Yeah.
That's all they care about. If you look at their entire platform, they don't have ideas for the American people. They're not fighting for the American people. They're fighting for their gravy train. And we have to stop it. And the only reason they don't like Donald Trump is because he's absolutely 100% unequivocally doing his part to expose them. And we have to do more here at home and drain the swamp and put good patriots in office that represent us. And I've been telling you this for years as we've talked, Gary. A representative is supposed to be the microphone for the people's voice to be heard in the halls of Congress. And that's not what they're doing. They're telling us how to live. You want to be a leader, run for Senate, run for the president. If you want to be conduit for the American's voice to be heard, you run to be a representative. And that's what Alan Hoover is doing.
Yeah, because we're certainly not getting that with Alyssa Slotkin. She's not hearing my voice. She's not hearing the people of Livingston County's voice. Livingston County traditionally is very conservative. And how, well, you and I had that discussion earlier, right? The Democrat marijuana vote helped put her over the edge.
Oh, absolutely. That was the turnout.
Yeah. So I think you got a good shot. A Republican can take this seat back. It's got to happen. And I believe that the people in Oakland County, Livingston County, what other, is it part of Macomb or not?
It's Northern Oakland County, Livingston County, and Ingham County.
Ingham County. Okay. So I'm thinking that a Republican nominee should have a very, very good shot at this.
And with that, you know, I'd like to take a moment to point out the current incumbent. Look, she is a wolf, okay? She grew up in her version of an ivory tower. She attended the Ivy League schools, right? She became a political analyst, a paper pusher for political ideology in the CIA. She was complicit and implicit in the things that went down during the surge in 2006 and in 2007, okay? I grew up in a shelter in foster cares from Holly, 16 different cities, to Howell, all the way down to Southwest Detroit, everything in between, okay? With that, I came from a hard life, right? I've had to work for everything that was ever given to me, okay? I came from nothing. I was a street rat, a gutter rat, right? I was living in the shanties, but not anymore. I'm a proud middle-class American citizen now with a beautiful family and a beautiful home in the United States.
So you started at the very bottom.
Yes, sir.
You did. Absolutely. I mean, give us a little bit more about it. Do you mind giving us a little bit more about your childhood, how you grew up?
No, absolutely. So it's some things are difficult for people to talk about. For me, though, I look at my past as battle-hardening my scars, preparing me for my future. With that, I was sexually assaulted for 3 years as a child, right? Ended up in foster care for 5 years. My mother, what had us in Holly, was she was trying to escape a sexual predator for her and her children, right? She was fleeing. But this gentleman here, he served in intelligence capacity as well. And so he was able to find and locate our family. That's what had us bouncing around 16 different cities. And eventually we ended up in foster care. And then eventually ended up in the city of River Rouge. And that's how I met my buddy Ash Hampton. And then with that, I've been a general laborer, right? I've been a union worker. I've been an analyst. I've been a manager. I've worked in engineering. I've had 3 businesses in my lifetime. One was successful. Unfortunately, the other two were not. But, I mean, that's how it is.
That was all of us, right?
We've all been there, right?
We've all been there.
Absolutely. Yeah. But when I graduated high school, I went straight into the Marine Corps because I realized that the life that I had experienced was not a beautiful life, right? And because of that, I didn't have a father in a household. I didn't have people showing me the right way to live as a human being. So I went into the Marine Corps to learn the leadership traits, the principles, and the philosophies. And then I took those traits, those principles, and those philosophies, and I made those the core, the essence of my being. And I took that around the world to help other people's voices in their countries to be heard, right? And then for them to stand up against the tyranny against their countries. And now I'm asking to be given the privilege and the honor to be a U.S. representative to stand up for your voice, for your voices to be heard in our Congress the way that our founding fathers intended for it to happen.
Good. Good. I'm just blown away. You know, you are the poster child for what it takes to become successful in America, starting at the very bottom. I mean, coming from broken home, been in shelters, been through all those things, and you've worked your way into a middle class. You've got a full-time job, too, as well.
Yes, I tell you what, Gary, you don't learn the value of heat and electricity until you have to take a shower as a high school student with no heat or electricity. Ugh. You are taking an ice-cold shower when it's 30 degrees outside, right? And then your hair is like frozen because you can't dry it off, right? Because you've only got one or two towels to share with your sisters. And then you have to go and you have to make that frigid walk to school. Absolutely. Ugh.
You know, and I keep telling people, a vote for Alan is a vote for you, because he is you. Yeah. Alan has seen the struggle of the American people, and Alan is the epitome of the American dream. It's alive and well. The American dream is alive and well, but we have to fight for it. We have to continue fighting for our dream to stay alive. America is losing its voice, and we have to stop and make a stance right now and put real people, real patriots in office that will listen to our voice and do the will of the American people. This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, unless you're part of the Washington establishment. And that's exactly what's happening. They're stifling Americans' voices. They're going after our Second Amendment. They're absolutely trying to destroy the fiber that makes America great. And Donald Trump's working to expose them. And by doing that, we have to drain them. We have to get rid of them. We have to put people who have our values in office, people that don't just talk the talk, but have walked the walk. That's Alan Hoover.
Yeah, because we had 63 million Americans. Maybe not everyone loved Donald Trump, but 63 million of us voted for him. We voted for him because we liked his message of draining the swamp, building the wall. Are you a Trump guy?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you right now, what I love about Trump is that he's a businessman, okay? President Trump was not a politician, just like I'm not a politician. Right, he came from his industry, and he took those skills from his industry, and he brought them into the United States government to what? Identify the swamp, call out the deep state, and say it's time to clean house. It's time to divert the course back to what the Constitution outlays, right?
And promises kept. He has kept his promise. I just put something on Facebook, and I urge you guys to go check it out. All of his accomplishments, it's overwhelming. It's astounding what he's been able to do, and I can't help but ask, Gary, what would he have been able to accomplish if he wasn't battling 3 years of frivolous investigations?
Yeah.
He is somebody who has to prove himself innocent, when the truth is the country's due process means you're innocent until proven guilty. But that's not what they've done to Donald Trump. They've absolutely said, prove yourself innocent or you are guilty. They did the same thing to Brett Kavanaugh.
Yep.
This is their new MO. This is their new call to arms. You're guilty. You're a bigot. It's funny. They always tell us we're bigots, right? When's the last time they had compassion for one of our values?
Yeah.
Well, never. Absolutely. There's none, because what I have seen from afar in these other lands is that American citizens are being positioned into a state of second-class citizenship in their own country.
Yeah.
In what other country? You go to Japan. Is the Japanese citizen second-class to the American or the Chinese or the German or the Russian citizen that's in that country? Absolutely not. And what other country can you go to become citizenship for that country?
And here's their talking point, right? This is what you've heard over and over again from drunken Nancy Pelosi and party. You see that new meme out there, the Nancy Pelosi vodka, the one with zero proof? True story. But no, listen, what does she say over and over? Nobody is above the law in this country, including the president. Well, what about Comey, Clapper, Brennan? What about Strzok and Page? What about Loretta Lynch? What about them? What about the 11 million illegals in this country? All of them are above the law because they fit the narrative of the do-nothing Democrats.
Right, right. But, or 22 million, depending on
how
you believe.
But Donald Trump's not above the law, but what crime did he commit? Oh, he didn't. There's zero proof of it. They've spent 3 years and $30 plus million trying to prove that he's a criminal when all of their crimes are in plain sight.
Yeah.
11 million illegals. The term illegal means you're breaking the law. I thought nobody was above the law, Nancy Pelosi. Do something for the American people. And you know what? The truth is, she won't. We have to replace her. We have to retake a majority for the Republicans. And we have to put people like Alan in the place of people like Alyssa Slotkin, who will listen to the values of their constituents and be their microphone in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, we're here with Ash Hampton and Alan Hoover, who is running for 8th District, Michigan Congress. What's your website?
AlanHoover2020.com. That's AlanHoover2020.com.
Okay, so people can go there, check you out, see your issues, where you stand on the issues, where they can give money, donations.
They can support, they can sign up to join the cause, they can make physical contributions, they can make financial contributions.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. We need your support.
All right.
We have 700,000 people in this district, and it goes from Western Lansing all the way to Eastern Rochester Hills. That's three different counties that we're covering, 700,000 people. It's a lot of doors to knock on and a lot of hands to shake. I do need your support.
Okay, so the first thing, we need more signatures, right, for the petitions?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and we need a total of how many?
Well, the laws here are that we can turn in 2,000. We have over 1,000. That's what's required to be on the ballot right now. But the truth of the matter is, Democrats control this state. Democrats absolutely control the Secretary of State. And so we need to make sure that we put 2,000 in there. So when they start getting rid of our people who are supporting us, we still meet the platform to hit the ballot. Right.
So we need another 1,000 signatures, give or take.
Absolutely, yes,
or
sir.
More.
So we can hit the 2,000 mark, yes.
Okay, so that's our first shot. And we're going to tell all our listeners, hey, if you haven't, go to AlanHoover2020.com, contact Alan's group, and let's get some petitions out there. Get your friends, your neighbors. And hey, let's be honest, even if your neighbors aren't a Republican, you're not doing anything by signing the petition that says you have to vote for you, right?
No, we're asking for a free and fair debate to put the right person in office and make sure that we have a proper representation in the federal government.
Yes, exactly right. All right, so that's step one. And step two, of course, is always the money. We got to get people to donate. Have you had any contact with Michigan GOP? Have they been giving you any help at all?
So I've had plenty of interaction with the Republican Party in the state of Michigan and in the counties. With that, though, there is a primary election, okay? And so they're not going to support a single candidate until the candidate wins the primary. Because the last thing that we want is for the wrong person who doesn't have the ability to stand up for the citizen and the ability and the work ethic to drive this home and be able to make a stance against the incumbent to be financially backed by the party, and then they end up losing the general.
Right. We want a strong, and that's what the primaries are designed to do. Give us the strongest candidate to run against the Democrat in the general.
Yep. And Alan's not looking for them lobbyists and them special interests and the people that are so entrenched with the Washington establishment, or as I like to call them, the swamp. Alan's looking for them small donations, for them grassroots, for them people that want to get involved because their voice matters and they want it to be heard. So I personally implore everybody to come out, donate $1, $2, $5, it doesn't matter, or even some time knocking on doors, helping circulate Alan's word, because this is a fight. This is a fight for our freedoms. This is a fight for our country, our democracy, and we are willing to fight, and we're asking people to stand with us and fight and put Alan Hoover in the halls of Congress to be the conduit for them and their voice and make sure that we are working on behalf of the American people.
Okay, so let's hit some issues real quick then, shall we? Let's start with border security. Where do you stand with helping fund the wall, increasing border security measures, everything across the board? Give us your thoughts on that.
Okay, if you don't have a border, then you don't have a country, right? And if you don't secure your border, then you have no ability to control the people that come in and out of your country, and you have no means to protect your citizens. We absolutely, absolutely need to have a secure border. We have to put American citizens first, okay? You don't send a lamb to fight a wolf, you send a lion. Okay, and we have lions all throughout our border protecting the lambs in our country.
No, patriots. Patriots standing there online, some of them not even affiliated with the federal government, but have taken arms up to protect their own property and their own family when our federal government absolutely has the resources and the means to protect our borders and close it down. But the Democrats don't want that because the Democrats have left the working class behind long ago.
They
lost those hardworking Americans, and the only way that they can continue to win is bringing in the illegals and giving them loopholes to get driver's licenses, allowing things like same-day registration at the polls, and then these people bust themselves from place to place to place and make multiple votes, and there's no way to track them. And that's the goal, right? The goal is to take the voice away from the American people and to control it. I believe they're stealing elections in this country by doing that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And look, at the end of the day, I'm a husband, a father, a veteran. I'm a defender of our freedom, right? And I'm a patriot. So, yes, absolutely, our border needs to be secured.
Okay. So when it comes to wall, because I still have never Trump Republican friends who complain about the wall. Oh, it's just a wall. They'll buy a ladder. They'll get over it.
I implore them to take the front door off their house and say it's just a door.
Bingo, right? So you fully support the 20, 30-foot wall, whatever. Give us a fence of some sort, for crying out loud. It drives me insane when these people, like my friends, who are alleged Republicans, who feel like, we don't need a wall. It's a waste of money. I'm like, are you kidding me? To your same point, take the door off your house. Would you be comfortable without having a door?
Right, absolutely. If there's no wall, then people can just come and go as they please, right? But if you put a wall, now they have to put other resources in place to try and violate the sanctity of our country, to get into our country and pillage it. Absolutely, we need the wall.
Okay. And I love the argument that they always say, well, these people are flying in. They're getting visas, overstaying their visas. Yes, that's a problem. But we don't actually know. We say 10 million illegals. There could be 20, 30, 40 million illegals because we are not controlling our borders. It's like common sense 101. We need to control what is ours. We need to secure what is ours. And then we can start working on the real problems of overstays of visas. But if we have people that can literally take a half a jump and I'm in Mexico, take another half a jump and I'm in the United States, and there is no barrier, right, then what are we doing as a federal government to protect our own?
Yeah, I don't want people, and it's not just illegals, right? There are documented evidence of Africans, lots of Africans, Middle Eastern, Chinese people coming across that border. I think Mexicans actually walking across the border is the minority now. It's other nationalities.
Well, look at what happened with those huge lines of immigration coming from Honduras and Guatemala and coming all the way up from Central America, making their way freely through Mexico and then storming our borders.
Yeah.
We as Americans are under attack. Our borders are under attack. Their goal is to infiltrate, change the fiber of our existence, and make us a globalist country.
Yeah.
We're not. We're Americans. We're patriots. We stand alone. We are the greatest social experiment mankind has ever known, and we cannot let it fail now.
Okay. So let's go back a step back there, because I heard the word visa. Where do you stand with visas? Because I'm in the auto industry, right? I'm a tier two. I don't work for the big three. I'm a tier two. I supply the big three. And even my own company, I notice, uses a lot of visas to bring in people from other parts of the globe to work for us. A, because they're cheaper. And B, because there is a shortage of qualified engineers and programmers and whatnot. But for me, I keep thinking, well, doggone it, how has our educational system failed? If we don't have enough engineers and programmers here, that's our fault. Because we sure have enough people here to take those jobs, but we're not training them, obviously, in high school.
No, we got rid of skilled trades. Everyone had to have a degree, and most of the people that work with a degree in this country are not working within the capacity or confines of what their degree is for.
Yeah, well, that's what bothered me, right? They told all our blue-collar guys, we're going to retrain you. Well, they didn't retrain them into engineers and programmers because we're obviously short. So, again, you said you were going to retrain our blue-collar guys' jobs when NAFTA sucked all those manufacturing jobs away. Thank God Trump's bringing them back. Now we're giving those jobs, instead of to the blue-collar guys that should have been retrained, we're giving them to people from overseas.
Right. So, look, we pay taxes, right? We pay taxes and we fund our school systems with our taxes. Okay? So why is it that our school systems aren't able to give our American citizens basic understandings and educations to be able to go out and then take it to the next step in our colleges and our universities, right?
Right.
Our bachelor's in science degrees, right, should be equipping American citizens to be able to fill the jobs that are required for the companies and the corporations within our country.
Yes.
And with that, Americans first, right? Americans first. A lot of these larger corporations, they're global. They have their businesses in other countries as well. Out of the 194 countries around the planet, they have their companies, they have their manufacturing facilities, they have their suppliers, they have them in other countries. Look, so you don't need a visa to work for one of our corporations here in the United States when they have their version of that company or that segment or that wing of their company in their country already. We need to put Americans first. And if we have companies doing business with the American people and they are not putting Americans first, then I would begin to question why they're in the country doing business with America in the first place.
Well, and this is what the Democrats did. This was all by design. They wanted to get rid of skilled trades because they could control the educational platforms in this country. They're indoctrinating children and our youth. They are not teaching them. My kids don't even learn cursive. I had to teach my son how to sign his name.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, if you think about it. But at the end of the day, and you really look and you look at the broad scope, they wanted NAFTA to kill our opportunity for manufacturing. Donald Trump's bringing manufacturing back. That's why we have a shortage, because we didn't have manufacturing. It was so on the decline here in this country. The auto industries and everybody else could not compete because we had the highest corporate tax on the globe. So it made a lot of sense for them to start branching out into these other countries, because a business is in business for what? To make money. And we were taking every penny they have and not putting it back into the people, not putting it back into the resources, not allowing people to have the skills that were required to fill the jobs, because we left that at go. USMCA, that is going to help us to be on a more level playing field, but we do need skilled trades. So what we should be doing is looking at trade schools again. And here's a thought, Gary, and this is something I always talk about. We have a huge problem in this country with government handouts. I personally grew up on assistance. And if it weren't for that assistance, my mother would have never been able to go become a school teacher, would have never had the funds to go to college as a single mother with four children, and a hairdresser is what she was at the time. But she was able to use the system, get off the system, and then become a contributor to society. You know, the government has a job for every job in the private sector. The government has mechanics. The government has painters. They have construction workers. Instead of giving a handout, how about we give a hand up? How about the federal government says, okay, you want my assistance? I'm never going to tell you that you should starve. I'm going to help you. But you're going to be required to put 20 hours a week into a government job, be properly trained, and then you can join the workforce after 6 months, a year, an apprenticeship. That's a word that's got gone to the wayside in this country.
Right.
But take an apprenticeship with the federal government, because the federal government will pay someone $25 an hour to type. In the private sector, you're worth $15, right? So if you think about that, they overpay. So instead of wasting our tax dollars overpaying, take somebody who doesn't have a skill, give them a skill. You know, it's something that I told my son a long time ago when I explained politics. A Democrat wants to give you a fish every Monday of your life, and every Monday you put your hand out and you ask for that fish, and if you don't get it, you're going to starve. A Republican simply wants to teach you to fish so you can take care of yourself for the rest of your life.
Yep, that's exactly right. As a guy that grew up in the trades, right, because I went to college, helped put myself through college by, started out painting, became drywall, carpentry, roofing, the whole nine yards. But every year I saw it, and it affected one of my failed businesses, right? I could no longer compete in the painting industry when illegal immigrants were coming in and painting commercial projects for pennies compared to what I was charging. I mean, I could not pay people that low. There was just no way. So they drove us out of painting, drove us out of drywall, drove us out of roofing and carpentry, drove us out of cement. That's just bringing in too many people. So where do you stand with visas? Back to visas. Limit the visas?
So again, with the visas, right? We need to be putting Americans first, okay? These companies, these corporations, they have their business segments in other countries in the world, okay? Those people want to work in our companies, they can work in the companies. They can work in the companies in their countries is our company, their segments, right? We need to put Americans first. Once every single American in the United States of America, once every American citizen has a job, a warm roof, and hot food on the table for themselves and their family, then we can start exploring helping out people in other countries.
Okay.
I want to see Americans first in America.
Okay. And we got to fix the visa problem too, right? Like, there is no process in place to track these people. They get in for all sorts of horrible reasons that absolutely have nothing to do with improving the fiber of American society. They're not coming here and trying to indoctrinate themselves with our values. They're coming here to try to fundamentally change and make our country look more like their own. And I say to you, stay home.
Okay.
If you want to come to America to be an American, I welcome you with open arms, but there's a process. My ancestors did it the right way. You can do it the right way too. We do have those processes, but we don't track them properly. That's why they're able to overstay the visas. Nobody is like, oh, Roger, you're gone. Why? Because you haven't checked in with us in 2 months. No, instead they're like, oh, Roger's on the run. That's okay. We'll catch him one day. And then they catch him and release him back into society for a court date that's never going to come because he's not going to show up to the court.
Yeah. I'm just a firm believer that, you know, we bring 1 million legal citizens into this country every year. And I think that's too many, frankly. How many illegals are coming in? And that's what's driving our wages down. You know, we just got to stop it. So let's change streams here and look at education, because we just talked about educational failures here. Department of Education.
Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about education? I was looking at the Michigan State education. And why is it that on what's approved to be taught in our schools, Civics, number 75 on what was approved. It is dead last. Dead last. Americans first. Restore the voice of the people, right? Our education for our children need to focus on finance for financial success. They should know how to balance a bank account. They should know how to invest money coming out of high school. They should understand our government completely, 100%. Civics needs to be a priority. Our citizens, our children need to learn about our country's government and their voice, right, and their rights as an American citizen before they learn about socialism and communism and fascism and all the other ones out there. Because what you teach them first matters. What you teach them first matters. And then with our higher education, with our universities, if we're going to be forced to go to schools to get degrees to work at McDonald's, then what's the classes that are being taught there? If they're getting federal funding, then what are the classes that are being taught there? What's the ideology? What is being pumped into the young people's heads of our country, the future of our country, right? It should be Americans first. We should have pride in America.
Yeah, we won the Cold War, but we've lost to socialism because our universities and our high schools are pumping out snowflake socialist kids. Half these kids, more than half, 70% of them think socialism is a great thing.
Because they've never seen it firsthand. That's why someone like Alan becomes so important to the fiber of our society. He has seen socialism firsthand. I have seen socialism firsthand. It doesn't work. It's a farce. It's a lie. But these kids don't know that because they don't understand the simple principles of how our government was founded and what our government was founded for. They attack our flag. They attack our national anthem. They attack the pledge. They attack America. They are the indoctrination tool of the left-wing Democrats. They no longer care about us, Gary.
Yeah.
They're not preparing our children for the real world. They're preparing our children to become their mouthpiece for the next generation. They've dumbed us down.
Yeah.
They don't care about true, good, wholesome education. They don't care to make sure that a child is equipped and ready for the world. What they care about is making sure they've created a brainless mouthpiece.
Yeah, instead of teaching our kids how to think, they're teaching them what to think.
Exactly.
There's and it's no the wrong
such
thing.
There's no such thing as free speech, and we see it all the time. I talked about it earlier. I'm a racist. I'm a bigot. I'm a bad human being. I'm a misogynist. Why? Because I support Donald Trump. But I'm not. But you know what? You are.
Right, and neither is Trump.
You're doing the same thing that you're accusing me of. It's with them. It's always do as I say, not as I do. I'm telling you how to live because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, isn't it, right? You have... You know, the they're so anti-white rich man, only the two top runners in their party are rich white men. And then you have Pocahontas, of course,
who's yeah.
going nowhere.
Yeah.
Trump came a little early with that one. He should have held off a little bit longer, but she's going nowhere anyways.
While we're on this topic, I was having a conversation with this young lady today, okay? And she was talking about how her voice is suppressed in the medical industry that she works in. She hears doctors and other nurses and healthcare insurance providers speaking out against our president, right? And they're not even American citizens, right? You want to talk about visas? We have people here that aren't even American citizens that are working in our hospitals to take care of American citizens, and they're speaking ill of our president, right? With that, though, I asked her, I was like, so why is it that you don't feel that you can speak your beliefs and your opinions in this matter? And she said, because the other people are so passionate about it that she gets shunned and then she's not a part of their group. So then I asked her, I was like, well, can you talk about lasagna or steak? Like, you can talk about the food you enjoy, right? You can talk about what kind of hobbies and sports you're into. But why is it that today in our culture, talking about politics, talking about our government, talking about being a patriot in our government, as seen as some means of suppression? It's not suppression, right? You have a right and a duty as a citizen to stand up for your government. But at the same time, you can have a casual conversation with someone. If they're trying to suppress you, that makes them the predator, right? And if they're not even an American citizen, why do we have non-citizens suppressing the opinions
of Americans?
Yes. Because they want a globalist
yeah, it all drives back to that, doesn't it? Something you said earlier struck me when we talked about what could Donald Trump have done in these 3 years if he hadn't been bullied by the media, bullied by the Democrats, bullied by everybody, attacking him constantly. And it goes back to the first 2 years. We had control of the Congress the first 2 years with Paul...
Ryan.
No, doggone it. Paul Ryan, yes. And... we didn't, it's like he didn't care enough to follow through on the agenda that we, the American people, set by voting for Donald Trump. And so it worries me that if we get the House back this time, are we going to fall into that same trap? Too scared as Republicans to go in there and tell Congress what we're going to do. I don't want another Paul Ryan in Congress. I want a guy, and I'm hoping, that's when I look at my veterans who are running. These guys have guts. I guess it takes guts is what I'm looking for in a congressman.
I'm telling you right now. You send me to Congress, you're sending the bull into the China store. I'm not going up there to play nice. I'm a blunt instrument. I am not well-polished, okay? I am a proven, battle-hardened patriot, okay? And I see what's going on in our country, and it gravely disturbs me for the future of my children and every other American citizen's child in this country. I am going there to stand up for your voice, for the voices of the people in our district, to put them first in a country that is not putting them first. The American citizen needs to be first in America, and I am going there to ensure that that happens.
Bingo. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. I've never been so disappointed with so many Republicans in that first 2 years of the Trump presidency. Paul Ryan made me sick to my stomach. I voted for him and Romney. And when I look at Romney, what he does today, and what Paul Ryan's doing behind the scenes at Fox News today, because I think he's on a board or something over there now, those two guys, those rhinos, I don't even think they're rhinos.
No,
I think those guys are
they're establishment.
Deep state.
You
right?
got it, because it is a real thing. And sadly, that goes to both sides of the aisle. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And this is why Trump was so disliked. And this is why they've allowed these frivolous investigations to continue. We could have stopped this in the beginning days. We chose not to. We absolutely chose not. And why did we choose not to? Because the gravy train was ending for both sides.
Yep.
And now the Republicans are a different party than they were a couple years back. We finally started to evolve. And that's actually been one of the worst problems with our party. And I'm sorry, but I think that we have to speak out against our own party sometimes to make sure that we're putting the people over party. And that's kind of what Alan's trying to do. Yes, I'm a Republican. I love the platform of the Republican Party. But we have to practice what we preach, and they weren't doing it. Donald Trump came in and remolded. We are closer to, you know what? It's almost as if John Kennedy were a Republican. If you really look at where we are in society today,
yeah.
Donald Trump is so much closer to Jack Kennedy than any of the Democrats that hold office today. What does that say? That says that the Republicans are evolving. The Democrats are going in the wrong direction. However, there are Republicans. John McCain was one of them. And you really want to look back and you really want to think about it, that were so used to the establishment deep state ways, they were no longer taking care of us, the people.
Right.
And that's something I'd like to talk about, too. Right. When you look at the swamp and the deep state and you look at the people that are there, I look at it like a virus. Right. Or a nuclear biological chemical attack. OK, if I'm getting ready when I served in the military, if I was going to go into an environment that had been an influx of chemical weapons, we would don and put on our MBC gear. Right.
Get so there on.
That's right. We would mop our gear. Mop gear. Exactly. Mop 1, 2, 3, or 4. OK, we would don that equipment and then we would go in there. Right. But we would mop our gear first so that way we weren't infected by the chemicals in the lands that we were going to be operating in. You look at the deep swamp. Right. The deep state and the swamp. It is a virus. And the people that have been there, regardless of how strong they are and how much of a stand they've tried to take against it, they weren't donned and peppered when they went there.
No, right? They were infected with the virus.
Right. I'm coming in. If you give me the privilege to being your representative, I'm coming in not associated with that. Right. I am going to be in MOP 4 gear. I'm coming with pillars. And I am ready to take this on. I will not have the virus because I haven't been there to get the virus. And I will be properly equipped to keep myself from being infected.
And this is why we need combat veterans to stand up and start taking back the halls of Congress. Alan took an oath to the Constitution to defend it, enemies, foreign and domestic. And guess what? At the end of the day, while his term as a United States Marine will come to an end one day, that oath never dies. He will stand up for the Constitution until the day he dies. I know that because it's the same oath I took, and it means something to us when we put our lives on the line. It's a very similar oath they take to become a representative, but their lives are not on the line. They haven't fought for it with the same thinking that us combat vets did, because to us, we're willing to give our life to ensure you're free tomorrow.
Yeah. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Simplify there you that. Go. There you go. Okay, so let's pick up another issue, one that's kind of dear and to you and to me and to you too, I'm sure. Second Amendment.
Okay, so again, why is it that our country sends enablers such as myself to other countries to outfit, equip, and then make them proficient?
Hold on a second. Explain that, the term enabler, as a job in the military, because a lot of people probably don't understand it. So give a quick definition of what that job is in the military, the enabler.
Okay, so on the job training, right, when you go and you work in the skilled trades and you have a person that teaches you how to do that job, okay, you work with them, they teach you how to do it, and they set you up so that you can do the job when they're not there, right?
So you're like the journeyman, the mentor.
Exactly. Okay. So I go to these other countries as a small team, right? Small teams. And then we work with that country's citizenry or military to get them the weapons that they need for the fight. We advise them and we teach them how to use it. We mentor them, right? So we advise, we assist, and in some cases we accompany, okay? So it's on the job training so that they are able to operate in a capacity to secure their country, to secure the safety of their people.
Okay. And then the American tax dollar does no longer have to go, or the American life no longer has to be on the line.
Again, you're teaching them to fish, not giving them a fish, which is what we've been doing around the world for years, defending everybody at our own cost or our own blood and treasure, instead of letting them get trained to do it themselves.
And that's what a Foreign Security Force Special Operations Expeditionary Warfare Advisor does, an enabler. It enables them. It gives them the strength to defend themselves. Okay, right. So with that, our country is sending us tacticians over there, us enablers over there, to give these citizens in their countries the ability to protect themselves, to safeguard their country. But here, it is the opposite. They are trying to take our weapons away from us. Look, the Second Amendment was not created for you to go into the forest and hunt a deer, right? God bless all the deer hunters. It wasn't created to keep the thief from coming into your home, or to prevent the carjacker from taking your car from you, right? No, the gun is the greatest equalizer in our society. I am 6'2.5". I am 275 pounds. I can bench press 315 pounds. I can squat 600 pounds, right? I'm a very strong person. But you put me in the room with a young lady who's like 5'2 or 5'4, 100 pounds soaking wet, and you put a 38 in her nose, it is the equalizer. It is the equalizer. So why is it that our government wants to take away that smaller person's ability to have safety themselves against someone with my size and my stature?
And at the end of the day, the Second Amendment was your check and balance on the federal government. That was the point of it. And it really upsets me, because this is what we talk about, right? What is the Second Amendment? What does it say? What's the line there? I'm going to paraphrase, but it's basically saying that
the right to keep and bear arms.
Well, it says that a well-regulated militia is a necessity, essentially, to make sure that we stay a free state. But then it has a comma and it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So you have these naysayers on the Second Amendment that always say, oh, it's for hunting. You don't need a 30-round clip to hunt a deer. Well, that's not what it's for. That's not what the Second Amendment's stating. It's stating that we, to be free, must be able to stand up to all governments, including our own.
Yeah.
Including our own, Gary. And that's so important. And that's what's absolutely being lost in this fight. And any time that we talk about we the people or the people, the Constitution is saying the people as a whole, not the militia. And I just had this argument with somebody on Facebook the other day that says, well, actually, it's a well-regulated militia, meaning regulated, that gets the guns. No, it's saying that a well-regulated militia is necessity to our freedom. However, the right of the people shall not be infringed. Yeah. And we are the people.
There you go. So what we're seeing in Virginia right now, right, which just astounds me. With all the crazy things, the governor of Virginia with the blackface and the abortion, killing the babies even after they come out of the
infanticide. Would have had to be out of office immediately.
Exactly.
The infanticide. I mean, we cannot emphasize that the most. You are taking a living being, right?
He said after birth, too. He said after birth.
After birth. You are an American citizen now, and you are being ripped apart. Ripped apart. Where's that baby's voice at? That is an American citizen, right? And this is what that person stands behind, is destroying the American citizen at the pinnacle, the point of their birth, the moment they become a citizen, ripping them apart. Yeah, and
this is
them.
Why 2A is so important, actually, because they are absolutely getting rid of our God-given rights, the right to life, the pursuit of happiness. Those things matter in this country, and we don't recognize how close we were. If Hillary Clinton had won the last election, she'd have two more liberal leftist legislate from the bench justices yep. in the Supreme Court, and we would no longer have 2A. 2A is still on the line just because Donald Trump is in there. If Ginsburg kicks the bucket anytime soon, we might get a supermajority, a conservative majority on the bench, which would be huge because at least those conservatives don't try to legislate from the bench. They recognize their role. They're a check and balance to the other two branches of government, and they do that well. But that's not what the liberal left want to do. They want to legislate from the bench, which allows Congress to do nothing but make frivolous investigations and attack the freedoms of the American people, and it has to stop. This is madness. We are looking a lot more like Nazi Germany than we are America anymore under the rule of the Democrats in the House.
Yeah. And I want to say about the Second Amendment. I have a question. If the Second Amendment was put in place for the citizen to be able to hold a gun to the government to ensure that they do what's best for the citizen, why then is the government wanting to disarm the citizen?
Deep state. Swamp.
Yeah, that's the swamp. Yeah, I saw a meme the other day that said, why after 243 years is the government now trying to take your guns away? Probably because they want to do something to you that you wouldn't like, and you'd probably want to shoot them for it anyways, right?
Right, and just like we saw in Texas the other day with that mm-hmm. shooter.
Yeah, amazing.
It works. The yes. Second Amendment works. The right to carry in a gun-free zone, because my understanding is in Texas, the way that their gun laws operate, if a pastor or the head of the church allows you to carry in the church, you're allowed to, which is traditionally a gun-free zone. What gun-free zones really are
Kill
are
zone.
Open targets to crazies who want to commit mass damage rather quickly without the threat of being shot back at. And we've seen the Second Amendment working to our favor in that the heroism that was showed by the parishioners
oh, yeah.
of that church.
Yeah, you've seen the video, right? You watched that
it
video.
It was horrific.
I mean,
but at the same time, exhilarating, because we got to see the reason behind getting rid of these gun-free zones and expanding the 2A back to what it's supposed to be. Shall not be infringed.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy that brought that shooter down, he exercised gun control. Incredible gun control. He got a headshot off in 3 seconds.
And that's sad. The thing, right? It's sad that I had to watch that. It was such a heartbreaking video.
Yeah.
But by golly, does that not really drive home the point that we've been talking about for years mm-hmm. in this country when it comes to 2A and getting rid of these gun-free zones? You know, I mean, and you think about it, right? You had the cowards of Broward County not willing to run into that school and save those children. But imagine if we had armed teachers. Imagine if we had trained teachers. Imagine a world where we can always defend ourselves or have somebody in place to defend ourselves. And we don't have to worry about the cowards of Broward County yep. sheriff sitting out there because the sheriff is too busy worrying about his political career instead of the protection of the American people. Yep. We cannot trust government entities to protect ourselves. We must protect ourselves.
That's right.
In 2 ways how we do it.
Because our investigators, they're not a preventive force, right? The law enforcement officer comes in after the scene to enforce the law. Right? They do not prevent the situation from happening. Okay. The only way to have this is for our citizens to be armed and have the ability to defend themselves. Unequivocally, that is the only way it's going to happen. Okay. And with that, just like with the smoking, look at smoking cigarettes, right? We saw cigarettes smoking drop dramatically, right? In the last 10, 15 years. And the reason was because what? They taught young people.
Education,
right? They educated them on a subject. So if we educate people on gun safety, right, how to properly use a weapon system, when to use a weapon system, it's going to have the same. It's going to have the same effect. Having an armed society does not create more violence; it deters violence.
It does. You know, it's funny because you know, just on the news the other day, someone was shot in Detroit gas station, people dying, and you see this all the time. They're pumping gas. They're just trying to get from point A to point B. They need to put some petroleum in their car to be able to get there. And they're getting shot to be robbed or whatever the case, carjacked at a gas station in Detroit. You know, anytime I'm stopping in Detroit, I go from concealed carry to open carry. You know why? Because it's a deterrent to that guy that might try to walk up behind me. I will shoot you. You will not take my car. You will not take my life. Yeah. And it's a statement. And we should make that statement more often. And you know what? I mean, I get it, right? Like, some people are afraid of guns. My mother's always been very anti-gun. She's very afraid of them. She's not comfortable. You know, she's like, oh, you have a gun. Mom, I'm a United States Marine. Yeah. The government spent a lot of time, money, and resources training me to use weapons effectively. And if something happens right now, who better than me to be standing next to you with a weapon in my hand that the government taught me how to use properly? And we should be teaching our kids this at a very early age. And we should encourage people to take part in the Second Amendment. Buy arms. Keep arms, but be responsible, obviously. Make sure that you've taught yourself properly. Don't be trigger happy. Try to de-escalate situations. But I'll tell you, one heck of a deterrent is having a weapon on your hip.
Yeah, yeah.
And you bring up Virginia. They're not even talking about pulling the guns and leaving it there. They're talking about getting rid of self-defense classes, too. Karate, boxing, things of those natures.
I'm blown away. I cannot understand how the people of Virginia did not know what they were voting for when they gave the legislature full. I mean, Virginia is as Democrat as it comes now, and it's because the people voted them in. And now we're seeing a big January 22nd, I think, there's supposed to be a giant militia rally now going to Virginia.
I mean, you look at this, right? You say Virginia is like predominantly Democratic now. You look at the state of Virginia, that majority of that state is red, but there is this tiny segment of blue cancer in there. And because of that, if the body gets cancer, then now the whole body has cancer. It is a red state, but because of this small area that has this demographic of
the swamp area.
Yes, this swamp area here with the do-nothing Democrats, they have been able to make this stronghold now that is infecting the entire state.
Yeah.
You know, Gary, I've said this before on your show. I'm going to say it again. You show me a place that's considered an American ghetto, and I will tell you that that's a place that's been run by Democrats for 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
The madness has to stop. When have they, the party of the people they call themselves, ever pulled someone out of poverty? When have they ever taught somebody to protect themselves, to fish, to make their lives better, to stand up for themselves and fight for themselves?
Yeah.
We cannot do it for them. The federal government should not be doing it for them. If you look at healthcare, if you look at 2A, if you look at everything they do, it's all about getting your information and controlling you instead of allowing you, we the people, to be in control of our federal government. It's got to stop.
Yeah. All right. So one last subject that has kind of fallen off the back burner for Republicans and Democrats together in the last 3 years. Debt. We are spending more, even now, even in the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, we spent more than even Barack Obama spent. And I understand we had to rebuild the military, so I kind of pushed it to the back and said, you know what, we got bigger problems than the debt to worry about.
Yeah, we had
right
planes
now.
Falling out of the sky.
We had, yes, exactly. So I'm perfectly happy with our increased money for the military. But we've got to somebody has to finally take a look at our entitlement programs, and that's Social Security, that's Medicaid, that's Medicare, that's all of it. We have to find a way to get back to a balanced budget.
So with that, I'm going to go back to 1775, right, when my Marine Corps came alive.
Right.
All right, so in 1775, we fought a civil war, right, as they were. We fought a war against a monarchy, a king, right, to earn our freedom, okay? And I believe it was like $70 or $75 million that we were in debt to France and some other countries that helped us in that endeavor to separate ourselves from England so that we could be a sovereign nation, okay? 1835, we finally had that debt paid off. We actually had a surplus that year. 1 year, we had a surplus, okay, under that president. And what did the president do with the money? He gave it back to the states. All right. Instead of giving it back to the citizens of the country, the people of the country, gave it back to the states. And then the states squandered it and then compiled it and made things worse. OK, personally, I think he should have gave it back to the citizens instead. Now, moving forward, 1861 to 1865, we had a civil war. Right. Our first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, right, had to fund the Union Army in order to abolish slavery and unify the country, because we couldn't have our states breaking off and becoming their own independent countries for the sanctity and the strength of the nation, of the Union as a whole. Well, we won that in 1865, okay? That Revenue Act was put in place for us to pay and fund the Union Army because we were at civil unrest, right? The entire country was at war with itself. Two major times that our country was at war. Back in the 1700s against England, and then again in the 1861-1865 internal civil war. Okay, well, that war ended. So instead of ending the Revenue Act, they compounded it, turned it into the federal income tax.
IRS.
Right, created the IRS. And then they gave us a rotten carrot called the Social Security tax, right? Hey, I'm going to give you...
The New Deal, they called it? Mm-hmm. What a raw deal that turned out to be.
We're going to give you a piece of it back after you've given us your youth and your adulthood. And now that you are a senior citizen and you are not able to stand up against us, we're going to give you a piece of it back. But only now they're saying that it's not going to be there potentially when we retire. So therefore, it's a rotten carrot. Okay, so one, we have to reduce the budget. This multiple trillions of dollar deficit is insane. Okay, we have to put Americans first. Why are we sending millions of dollars to other countries that have ivory towers and shanties? Let them figure it out. Let them have their civil wars if they need to, if they need to figure out what's best for their countries. We need to put Americans first. So yes, if we stop spending on the rest of the world, then we don't have to take so much money from the American citizen, right? And then if we stop spending so much money on the world, then we won't have these massive debts, these trillions of dollars every year. We need to get the budget under control, right? We also need to reduce the confines on our businesses and in our companies so that they can be more profitable and they can thrive and hire more people. President Trump has shown that when you restrict, when you eliminate the restrictions, industry, what, becomes more successful.
Yeah, it flourishes 100%.
Yes, they hire more people. More people get jobs. More people make more money. More money flows. So I believe that if we change the focus to a consumption-based tax instead of a federal income tax where everybody is contributing, right? Not only will we stop taking our hardened American dollars and putting them in other countries, we will focus more on our country as a whole.
I love it. So you're a fair tax guy. You like the fair tax, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, the fair tax is a great thing for the American citizens. I look at it like this. If a person's paying 20% or more, if a person's paying 20% or more on the federal income tax, that is relative slavery. That is relative slavery. That means one out of every 5 years, you are working for free. And I thought we abolished slavery in 1865.
So, well, it's funny, right? And if you think about it, right, your lifestyle dictates, your lifestyle dictates what you pay. If you buy a Bentley, you're going to pay the taxes on a Bentley. But if you're common sense and you buy a Ford Focus, then you are going to pay the taxes on that. So the consumption-based platform makes so much sense.
Okay, and so let's wrap it up. A great show. Thank you so much, Alan, for coming in. AlanHoover2020.com. You're running for 8th District Michigan Congress. And I'm very happy with everything you've said to me. We're going to have to get you back on. Will you come back?
Absolutely. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you for your citizenship. Thank you for being an outstanding American citizen. Thank you for your patriotism.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you back because we lost track of time. I wanted to get to a bunch of current events because I wanted to get your take on it because I think it's important to get your take on what's happening every day, and people will be more comfortable with you when they can hear what you're talking about, just looking at the Daily Drift, the stories, and going, oh, what's your comment on that? You know, here we go. And
absolutely.
Ash, thank you so much for coming, man. I missed you. It's been good to have you back.
You know what, man? It's been too long. We can't make it take so long next time. You know, obviously, I'm in a different capacity. I've always been Ash the Patriot, and everybody knew the Ash Hampton Show and what I had going on and my followers. But right now, my mission's changed. My mission's different. Right now, my mission is to be the voice of Alan Hoover to make sure that we get American patriots involved. And I got to tell you, fellow patriots, it's time. The time is now. If we want to preserve our freedoms, if we want to ensure that we do not lose the American dream or the American voice in Congress, then we need to get behind candidates all over this country like Alan Hoover. I urge you to check it out, AlanHoover2020.com, Alan Hoover for Congress 2020 on Facebook. He's on Twitter as well. And if we get behind candidates like him who exude real patriotism, who stand up for Americans and American values and have a proven track record of not only talking the talk, but walking the walk, we as America are going to be so much better. Gary, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you so much for bringing Alan on. Together, we can make a difference. Your voice matters. It will be heard. Thank you, Vote Hoover. A vote for Hoover is a vote for you because he is you. He's just like us, Gary.
That's
and
awesome.
We have to drive that point home.
Yeah, I'm all fired up now. All right. Well, we'll get you on again. And in the meantime, get out there. Let's make sure we get your name out there. Leave me a couple of petitions because you're my congressman. And let's get out there. And so, folks, we'll get the next podcast up, and we'll get this on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram as quickly as we can. And if you want to reach out to me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com, or make sure you're getting your daily news aggregate at thedailydrift.com. That's www.thedailydrift.com. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Take care.